And the problem is we don't have enough vaccine to go around.
Meaning we don't have enough vaccine for the United States?
Well, I would like to think that, but we don't have sufficient stockpiles for the people in Oklahoma, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, much less for the entire United States population.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound encouraging. What do you mean exactly?
Angie, it means it could be a very dark winter for America.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Thank you for joining me, especially if you were here for the extravaganza that happened yesterday. We have quite a bit to go over. A little bit of the information today will be redundant for those that may have caught some of the show yesterday. But there's new takes on some of that as well as a whole bunch of new things we're going to go over in the show today. But to start off really quickly, I wanted to do two things, which one was go over some of the things I wanted to let you guys know about yesterday that I didn't do because I was so frustrated that the show was being suppressed. But I also want to explain for those that may not have known what exactly happened, and I'm going to do this very quickly, just so everybody understands. Yesterday, it was not a technical issue. It was not a YouTube issue. I was streaming through OBS, which is what I'm using now. And it was telling me that my stream was being blocked by a third party. That's what the error message was saying. That could be a glitch. There could be another explanation for it. But that is a direct streaming issue, which means at some point, if that's what it meant and that is accurate, that at some level, the stream code was being blocked to reach YouTube or DLive or anything else, which is really alarming if this is the next level of censorship we're going to get to. In order to be able to make this work today, I had to delete everything, including losing all my settings, reinstall the entire thing, actually more than once, and then create a whole separate isolated file different than the one it's supposed to use. I mean, I looked up all kinds of different stuff yesterday. I don't have to go any deeper. The point is, I worked my magic behind the scenes to make this work. It might happen again in the near future, but this is what we need to expect. Now, I'm not going to say I know for sure exactly what happened. It could have been something I did wrong. I don't think that's what happened. Either way, it seems to be something that is increasing as we see the censorship and the manipulation going full steam ahead. And I just find it interesting. It happens to be about something like this that we're going to get into, which is very, very important. But before I get into the opening thing, I wanted to make sure I shouted something out. I have a whole bunch of clips coming your way. Yesterday, in fact, I had about four or five ready and then got all excited about something I wanted to talk about and jumped on to do a quick show, and then you guys saw what happened. But I have a bunch of clips from about five different shows over the past week coming out soon, so you guys can share those clips. My podcast hasn't been working. This is another arm of what we've been dealing with. You guys know the website was under attack. All of a sudden, about a week ago, my podcast just stopped working. As far as my team and I can tell, it's coming from GoDaddy. The podcast is there. All the previous issues are there for you to hear and listen to, except suddenly it's just not recognizing my feed and it's showing it as blank. And this is something that from my technical side, my team is telling me we can't figure out why it's actually happening. And it seems to be something that GoDaddy is blocking. So that's just why. So you guys are knowing we're soon going to be shifting into an isolated server just for The Last American Vagabond, hopefully to alleviate some of these issues. I'm going to do what I can to get the podcast up and running again. I know that's been something a lot of you really enjoy. It's quite frustrating. But I hope we can see when all these things are laid out together, it's a pretty concerted, over-the-top effort to just suppress The Last American Vagabond efforts. I mean, it could be that there's these glitches in every single aspect of everything that we do, and always possible. I think that's pretty ridiculous, personally, but sure. And then, of course, Whitney Webb is putting out and did put out a podcast in regard to Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, and is also going to be putting out an entire article. Now, all of these are going to be special exclusives just for her Patreon. So if I will likely talk about some of this information in the near future, but for those out there that are interested in seeing some of these things, it's going to be on just her Patreon exclusively. And you're only going to see that if you go and sign up for her Patreon. So there's some really good stuff there that I recommend you guys go check out. Now, we'll leave it at that for the moment, and let's jump into something to start today. And I really want to, again, start off with this idea of the censorship aspect. And I found this to be interesting. Now, by the way, this is also not why there was any issues yesterday, because as you can see, I'm streaming now. And I also want to point out for those that ask, YouTube is not the only platform we're using, for those that may be new. Yesterday, even, I was streaming on a bunch of other platforms, but that's why it wasn't just a YouTube issue. It was a streaming issue through the platform, right? So today, especially, someone asked, why are you still streaming on YouTube? Well, I'm streaming on YouTube as well as about five other platforms. YouTube is just one of many that I use. So the reason I show you this stuff is not to say, look, my platform is having trouble. It's to say, look, YouTube is bad, but I'm still going to use it because the point is to reach those people. That's my job. Now, we have a strike, a copyright strike. Weirdly enough, they're not affecting the channel. They're not taking any action. So I don't understand how YouTube has been going forward with all this lately, removing videos with no consequences. I mean, it's very odd, but I found this very interesting. Guess what this copyright strike is about? Actually, you can't see the title, but this was about the very video that I was just referencing. Now, The Last American Vagabond, a long time ago, posted a video of Mario's... let me make sure I have it. I actually wrote it down so I would not forget and mispronounce, because I couldn't remember it exactly yesterday. But it is Mario Savio, and he was in Berkeley in the 60s, and it was a really famous speech. He put this up. It wasn't monetized. The whole channel's not monetized at this point. No, didn't benefit from it. Just wanted to share the work. Had like hundreds of thousands of views. It just got attacked yesterday or taken down by somebody's copyright strike. And guess, and, you know, so we're clear that person has a right to claim the copyright of their video, because no, we didn't ask permission. And this was years ago. And in fact, I'm not even the one that put it up on the channel at that point, but that's irrelevant. Nonetheless, it's very odd. So I reached out to Mark Kitchell, just saying, please remove it because this was not nefarious. Hopefully we'll do it. If not, nope, we'll move forward. But I wanted to, in that moment, read this to you because it's just something to start off with. So as that video gets removed, even though we're just trying to share that video so it gets more reach, here's what he said. Mario Savio is speaking, and this was, again, in Berkeley in the 60s, in regard to what we know was going on at that time, similar to where we are now, in fact. And here's what he said. He said, there is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, the machine being, what you could look at it a few different ways, the government, the establishment, our society. But when there's a time when that the operation of that machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. Seems right on par today. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon the apparatus. And you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run that machine, to the people who own that machine, that unless you're free, unless we are free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. Now understand, this is something in my mind that's been essentially bastardized, manipulated in a way that is not what this person and this idea was really embodying. And that's what we're seeing in regard to the aggressive left and the two-party illusion, the cancel culture. That's not what this was. It's about the establishment. The actual authority, not your fellow or, you know, whatever, the other side of the two-party illusion, which is what it ultimately boils down to in the psyop of the two-party deception today. He was talking about us versus them, the class war, the real issue. So nonetheless, I find that interesting that was taken down, but I also just wanted to start with that point and say it's important to understand what he meant and how relevant that is to today. I would have showed you the video, except it's no longer on our channel, it's removed, but... let's start out today again with something, and we're going, again, as I said again, we're going to go through a little bit of the other information that you probably saw yesterday, but more in depth. You can see it. The links will be there as well, but I wanted to start with some current stuff that happened today that I felt was very interesting and relevant to this large discussion from The Independent. 5 hours ago, Japan furious after dozens of U.S. Marines stationed in country diagnosed with coronavirus and massive outbreak. Now, obviously, there's a few ways you could take this before we even go into the article, right? I mean, I am just to reiterate my understanding and based on the evidence around this whole thing, which, by the way, we're going to reiterate even more today. This is not, at least what they're pointing to and saying is causing this, is not as dangerous as they're telling you it was, or as they said it was in the beginning and even right now. Some would even rightfully argue that this is not even real. In fact, leading scientists in the world right now are beginning to say the same, such as the leading scientist in Bulgaria. That no one, he says, no one, direct quote, has died from coronavirus, the coronavirus, COVID-19, in all of Europe, he said. No, good, he could be wrong. But the point is, you're not crazy or spreading misinformation to be able to question whether or not you're being lied to in that regard, when experts, in fact, leading experts, are standing up and risking their entire livelihood in order to say that for you to know, because they feel it's their obligation to, you know, do what doctors are supposed to do. Informed consent and all, you know. But you could also see this as something more nefarious. It's possible, such as, you know, the idea of what we've talked about in regard to the military games, even the Spanish flu, or the real, you know, the Kansas flu is what it really was. You know, the Spanish flu, which really started in Kansas, and the U.S. military spread all around the world. For those that don't actually know that, which is verified fact, it's documented history, we still call it the Spanish flu because they don't want you knowing that history. The point is, there's a precedent for this. But let's get into the article and you can decide for yourself. Either way I look at this, I don't think what we're dealing with is as dangerous as they're saying. In fact, probably less than the flu based on the newest information. And that's straight from CDC data. So they'll keep trying to censor that, but it just makes them look all the more ridiculous. But I don't think it's as dangerous. So this to me is suspect for a lot of different reasons. But I think we have to understand that when this began, we saw a lot of really interesting and unexplained things, such as the untraceable case that popped up in Iran and well, somewhere else. I think there's something more nefarious going on around this. And it's important for them being the entire, you know, the unelected power structure driving this bus, to continue to make you think and to drive this into seeming like it's more serious than it is, which would include not just the U.S., understand, but the world. So this could be that. I just want you to consider that. Now, as it says, dozens of U.S. Marines stationed at two military bases in Japan have been diagnosed with coronavirus in a massive outbreak that has caused fury among local officials. Now, understand that Japan is a staunch U.S. ally, but also remember that Japan, rather, scientists essentially then supported by the government in Japan, did say their evidence shows that this started long before that we say it started in China, the government says in this country. As well as the fact that Japan suggested early on that it seemed most likely this started possibly in the United States, whereas a Taiwanese virologist went all the way and said it definitely started in the United States. But we don't talk about any of that stuff because, you know, it doesn't align with the U.S. and mainstream Western narrative. But they 100% did say those things, and they're 100% very well respected. In fact, the leading virologist in Taiwan. Okay, but the point is, to say that, is that Japan is obviously an ally. So there could be something weird going on here. I mean, we know that even in regard to the testing, we know the testing is being manipulated. The numbers aren't that accurate. And so when we see something like this, we should make you at least question. But even if taken at face value, what does this suggest? It suggests that the U.S. government is not taking precautions, is spreading this around the world, maybe with intention. Always something possible to consider. And we have to ask why. At the very least, if just like the ultimate surface level, it's just irresponsible. And I mean, this is like the most surface level, at least funny enough, before all this started, it would have been way too deep for a lot of people. The reality that this is the government, the U.S. government is all about their military agenda, and they just don't care what else is going on, that they will force it in. Sort of exactly what happened with the Spanish flu, or the Kansas flu, as it should be called. That's exactly what happened. General Pershing, and I've already reported about this, they knew this was happening, and they pushed these people out anyway because the war was more important than the lives of these people. And as they kept getting sick and they kept dry, they made the virus more virulent because they kept keeping these people rotating in and out. It just kept getting worse. And they knew it, didn't care. This is all very documented. So this is something we have to consider. But now I think it goes a little deeper than that. But as it says, more than 60 of the specialist troops located on the southern island of Okinawa have been infected since July 7th. But the outbreak has sparked considerable anger in Japan, which, despite having an elderly population and tightly packed cities, you know, so basically it's like according to what we're told, it's just like the worst of the worst. All the elderly people and the tightly packed cities has so far, interestingly enough, even despite that, has managed to largely contain the infection, which is really revealing, don't you think? If you were to have picked places which would have the most likely issues, places like this with highly elderly populations, with packed cities, would have been the worst, but look at them compared to the United States. But suddenly, here comes the U.S. military, you know, barging in and makes them have the same problem. Now it says, Okinawans are shocked, they said, by what we were told. We now have strong doubts the U.S. military has taken adequate disease prevention measures. He added, it is extremely regrettably said that the infections are rapidly spreading among U.S. personnel when we Okinawans are doing our utmost to contain the infections. Yeah, that's got to be pretty damn irritating if that's being, if this is really what's going on. Taking all the action precautions and doing what you can. And, you know, maybe we can pretend that this government really did want to stop this from spreading. And now suddenly the one, this entity that is seemingly not caring, or rather not taking precautions or pretending it's not there. You know, every step of the way, they have taken the action that seemingly has exacerbated the problem. You can say, oh, he closed the border to only Chinese nationals, but not other people. And but that did everything and it solved it all. But China tricked us and didn't tell us and we failed still, but yet we succeeded. Like, the narratives are so all over the place. And obviously I'm being facetious. That doesn't adequately describe all of those actions. But the point is that there's a lot of contradictions in regard to what they're actually saying based on the current moment. Now, it says concerns have been particularly raised because several American personnel arriving in Japan, get this, and this sounds exactly like Wuhan to me, had stayed at a base hotel before being transferred to the two camps last week. Now, that's not something that's impossible. Maybe lack of space, who knows why, but it seems suspect, especially during all of this. Right? To just send people out there with no precautions. I mean, I already showed you videos in the midst of all of this, at the peak, when U.S. military personnel were getting off planes and shaking hands and kissing cheeks. I showed you the video. And yet we're pretending like, ah, they're just, at the time we said, maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they've already gotten something we don't. You know, this is what we should be asking. Or it's just they're being irresponsible. Now, troops were now taking additional, now they're taking additional protective measures. So despite the fact that they're telling us that this is the real, you know, real and it's happening, and we'll get to the part where Trump is now wearing his mask, and yet they went in with no precautions, and yet then people got sick, and now they say, well, okay, now that we screwed everything up and people are getting sick, now we'll take precautions. That's actually what happened. When they said, that's their statement, the Marines said in their statement on Friday, the troops were now taking additional protective measures. It just, you know, why would you have not taken protective measures, efficient, effective, to begin with? Right? So, you know, people, it's additional. So they were taking precautions, right? But they obviously did not, based on Japanese government's perspective, enough. Now, residents there have long complained about pollution, noise, and crime arising from these camps, these, you know, U.S. bases, occupation. But that's not new. That's every single place pretty much all around the world. They just don't tell you this. The Western media will actively ignore these throughout the years, such as all the pollution. In fact, the U.S. military is the biggest polluter on the planet. There's been so many reports about this forever where they just march around and they burn their things and they test equipment. And they, especially as long as it's not in somewhere where it's a U.S. ally or, you know, over somewhere in the third world, who cares? They're testing off weapons and testing new technology and dumping things in the ground. I mean, it's really bad. I'm not going to go into it now, but I've done whole shows on this in the past. So it's just, this is the kind of groups we're dealing with, as well as noise and crime, right? It's just, it seems like a counterintuitive thing coming from the people spreading freedom, you know? And it says, excluding the American outbreak, Okinawa has had, get this, only 150 cases the whole time. And now there's something bigger because of what the U.S. government brought to their table. I find that to be pretty damn interesting. Now, I want you to take this with a grain of salt. That's why I started out the way I did, because it's Japan and because we know that they're allies and all these different things. This could just simply be a way to get you to think that it's more serious or, you know, how, and I considered that. But nonetheless, I find this to be very interesting, especially when you consider something like this. Now, this is a video that someone sent to me of a military person basically showing you what's happening with their, if somebody even suspects, if they even suspect somebody has COVID or even has symptoms of some kind, this is what this person in this video is saying they're doing on the ground. And before I even show you the video, I'll come back to this. This apparently is 100% real. The military is arguing that what he showed does not fully embody what they do, but this is real. That right now, the military person himself is saying that he was forced to take it down. And the military didn't say it was fake. They just said his video didn't appropriately represent how we deal with these things. Okay, so that being said, this is real. And the reason I'm saying that is because whether it's TikTok or whatever else, there's unlimited reasons why you should be wildly skeptical about all of this. And I'll even go over the top and say, just because this article says these things, it could still be fake. All right. And I know that makes people uncomfortable that's so crazy. I don't want to live like that. Well, that's the world that you're in. So put your head in the sand or accept the reality. You have everybody, everywhere, every angle in power trying to change and manipulate and control your view. That's just that's the world we live in. So consider that, right? I mean, this article itself could have been put out just to be able to fool you. I don't think that's what's happening. I've done my due diligence and it seems pretty damn clear that this is a real video. They're just challenging what he's showing as if he only showed you. And so this is an interesting microcosm of what we're talking about, right? Where is it misinformation if it's true? If it just doesn't show you the full picture, right? Are we now at a point where in anything you ever say, you have to go in and touch all your bases and explain all the peripheral and tangential information? That's ridiculous, right? You need to be able to make a point without backtracking every other side thing that relates, right? This is real. So you as an intelligent individual should look at it and go, okay, that's real, but it's only one video. So maybe there's more to the situation, right? That is what adults and intelligent people need to be able to do. But you have been cultivated and socially engineered over decades, centuries, to not do that. To seek out your savior, to seek out the trusted source and take them at face value. That's what they desperately need you to do. So let's take a look at this. This is pretty crazy.
Hey, y'all. So if you didn't think Fort Hood was bad enough with all the damn killings going around, here's what we... Hey, y'all. So if you didn't think Fort Hood was bad enough with all the damn killings going around, here's what we got our boys doing that are on quarantine in the field. If you got any symptoms, they don't send you home or to the hospital. They quarantine you behind some tape on a cot with a mask and a little fucking sign for 2 damn weeks. But y'all motherfuckers want to join them.
I apologize about that. I forgot to warn people about that. I was actually not planning on playing the last part. That's my mistake. Family friendly, or we try to be. Sorry about that. Anyway, the point, right, is, I mean, as you think, first of all, I mean, the guy doesn't look, you know, outstandingly sick. He seems to be kind of just zoned out, but he definitely stares at the camera when he looks down at him. But hasn't been tested, even according to the military. Could just have the flu. Could just be, you know, under the weather or, you know, whatever. But the thing about this video should be that this is the way. So this guy is saying, and it has been, according to the military, this is real military personnel, how they would treat somebody in a situation like this, right? Taking at face value that this is actually something that's going on. Why is it that our military thinks that, or our government thinks that they should use these people during this situation, because they have to continue their military agendas? That's the point. As the UN itself is calling for a global ceasefire while giving caveats to the illegal US operations, quote unquote, fighting Al Qaeda, you know, the groups that they're arming in Yemen and working with all around the world, right? It's an illusion. If we're calling for a global ceasefire and then the only groups marching around the world for, quote, freedom are the ones that are the worst overthrowing, I mean, the ones causing all the chaos, then we need to see what we're staring at here. If this is legitimately what we're staring at, and this is there's not a larger story here, it's just ridiculous that this is what we accept, that this is freedom, right? That we need to allow that this is how they treat their own people. For 2 weeks, he said, sitting in a corner, out in the middle of nowhere with a tape around you on a cot. It disgusts me. But this shouldn't surprise you because as I keep showing you, every time military people speak out, they have a pretty clear message, right? And then that gets disparaged and dismissed, right? Untold amounts of people that were in Iraq and Afghanistan that came back and said this is, they did not realize they were the air force for Al Qaeda or ISIS in Syria, or however they were saying. And there's overwhelming amounts of people like this telling that their commanders forced them to rape people, forced them to kill children. I mean, this is all on record. Most of it been verified, including the worst of the two things that I just mentioned. That's a very clear, very real story. Guess what? Nobody ever went to jail for those things. Fog of war. You know how it goes. Now, this says soldier allegedly exposes, right? It's just so funny how the Knowing in their own article, they go on to say that this is real, but the military then challenges it's the real full picture of how they deal with this. But that's how they title it. Does that not seem like they're clearly leaning into one side? Yeah, that's because that's what mainstream is meant to do. Allegedly exposes, in quotes, what getting coronavirus in military is like. Now it says the clip quickly spread across social media, garnering over 3 million views just from one post. Again, it's interesting that they don't like when things that they don't want you seeing get lots of spread. And when that happens, they sell it to you as a desperately dangerous situation. Oh no, this isn't exactly accurate. And all these people saw it. We need to do something, right? What the point is that people, well, for instance, when the doctors speak out about COVID-19 and it gets 10 million views, or the Plandemic documentary goes out and it gets millions and millions of views and they censor it, does that not show you that they are telling you and the majority that you're all wrong, that we don't care, that we know what's better for you, right? This is one of the most viral videos of all time, but that's only the fringe conspiracy theorists, and we all know the truth. No, we all know the truth, and you're censoring the majority. That's what this is. So at what point do we then realize that we're the majority? At what point do we then stand up and go, wait a minute, we have all the power. We just have to realize that simple fact. It's frustrating. Now it says, respect the troops. Not even the military respects the troops, according to one person. It's a good way to put it. Not long after going viral, the original TikTok video was removed. And this is even more interesting. As users question the video's legitimacy, Mr. Buttersworth 69, which is the person in the military, stated in comments on his profile that the video was in fact real, but that he had, quote, that he, quote, had to take it down. There's the picture for you right there, right? But officials at Fort Hood say the video falsely portrays the reality on the ground. There you go. That's open and open and shut. This real, they just don't think it's accurate. Speaking with the Daily Dot, 1st Cavalry Division spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Brodcam asserted that, the quote, the video does not represent our unit's COVID-19 mitigation policy or procedures. Now let me ask you this. You know, the same military officials and entities and authority positions that have lied to you about 9/11, lied to you about murdering soldiers in Afghanistan that, you know, WikiLeaks exposed until we finally exposed that they were real and they told us the truth, or we lied to about spying on Americans, or lied about the drones, or lied about arming the people in Syria that were terrorists until we found out. And they said, well, no, they're rebels and it's okay. And then we found out those rebels were actually bad guys and they just backed away and they started doing it again. I could go on and on and on. Right? These are the same people that are going to stand up and go, no, 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 that video is inaccurate. We do good things. Well, sure, they could be telling you the truth, or they could just be going, shoot, we don't want them to know that we're bad people. Right? I mean, it's so ridiculous that we continue to take them at their word. Now, I'm not saying that you should blindly think they're lying every time, but just don't take it at face value. These are the same. Do you really think if they did get caught like this, they'd go, oh, you got us. That's what we do. Now we're going to change that because we're, you know, it would look ridiculous. So even if they are going to change it, they're going to come out with a statement like this, which is what they, this is cookie cutter. As a matter of policy, they will deny until you find out the truth. Our history is, I mean, it is, I can't even think of an example. Every single time. Every single time throughout history, you will notice that they come out and they deny it. They deny it. And then finally it comes out. Over and over and over, and yet we still go through this rigmarole, right? But I find that to be pretty disgusting, don't you? Now, all that being said, to go back to the original idea, the point, I don't think that this is something that is, oops, my volume's really high, sorry about that. I really don't think this is something that is as severe as they're saying it is, based on their own information, understand. So all of this before is interesting because I do think, to me, this suggests that there's an attempt to help this along, if you will. But it's up for you to decide. Either way, we're going to now go into some more information to start off with the things we covered yesterday, but information that shows you that the CDC, for instance, is now actually contradicting the claim that we're seeing rises in deaths. Right? So why is that not being at least given as a counterpoint? Right? It's just, it's happening again, right? We all know it. Well, no, you guys say we all know it. I think we all know that you're lying to us. But yet there's this disconnect between realizing that we should be able to change that because we're afraid of being seen as the fringe. So I think that's what I keep putting it as. I personally believe that the majority of people see this for what it is. But I think that it's only a small percentage of people like us that are willing to take this stand and take the pushback to be able to talk about it. So let's just say, 15%. But then I think that the other part of that, whatever, 30, 40% of people that are still on the side of the majority of not believing it are still convinced that they're the fringe. They're still convinced by the mainstream media that they're the crazy ones and that only a small percentage believe it. So they don't say anything. So that that huge portion of the majority doesn't know their majority and they constantly self-censor and stay quiet about it. That's just my opinion. And the numbers are just taken out of nowhere. But the point is that once we see it, I truly believe we could change everything, as I keep saying. But this is exactly what holds it back. And hopefully it's stuff like this and exposing it, which can shake people free. Now, this again is what I went over yesterday. Just test, test. You guys can all hear me, right? the audio didn't suddenly go away now that I'm showing you this. Anti-science saga. NBC contributor who documented harrowing battle with COVID-19 never had the virus, which is, by the way, a fact. The doctors themselves have spoken out. Okay, so before we even go through the details, realize what that means. They went through this whole harrowing tale about, oh, and he's sick and we can all tell. Oh, look, can't you see? Oh, we can all see that he's got it. Like, that's like an actual quote. He tested numerous times, didn't have it, and they kept selling it to you. All right, somebody says about, I agree in the chat, optimism is important, right? I truly believe what I just said, but, you know, even if it's wishful thinking, that's, you know, there's the power of positive thought, right? But I do believe that. I truly do. That's just based on my interaction with people around the world and online. I think that people see this to varying degrees. But I think the two-party system is what stops each other from seeing that we're that, right? I mean, that's an interesting thing. There's another part of that, right? The two-party system is what's stopping the left and the right from realizing they're on the same side. And then that stops the majority from realizing that they're actually the majority. You know, and it goes forward. And these are ploys that have been instituted for a very long time that predate this country, in my opinion. Divide and conquer. I mean, that's classic. But anyway, so the point here, the dramatic televised saga of the doctor struggle. Understand, again, as I pointed out yesterday, this is a doctor, right? So this is a doctor and a contributor on mainstream media who went on and said this knowing that it wasn't true. Let that reflect on doctors in general, right? The possibility, I mean, not that they would all necessarily be lying all the time, right? There are plenty of doctors who are showing the courage to stand up and challenge the narrative. My point is, just because you're a doctor doesn't mean that you're moral and righteous. Now, the dramatic televised saga of a doctor's struggle to overcome coronavirus has ended in embarrassment after the NBC News contributor quietly admitted, of course, because they never come out and go, guys, my mistake. Never. Quietly admitted that there's no evidence he ever had the virus. Now, I shouldn't even say never because there's plenty of examples where people come out and apologize, but I argue there's more to it when that happens, and it's usually when they're already caught. That's my point. So now that everybody sees it, if he were to then come out and go, guys, I'm so sorry, that means nothing to me, right? The fact that he quietly admitted it when nobody knew, it shows you who he is. You don't quietly admit that you made this massive lie that scared everybody into removing their rights from themselves, right? Think about that. Now, Dr. Joseph Fair. So you guys remember his name, Dr. Joseph Fair. I think that should reflect on the people who maybe, you know, work or you go to see him as a doctor. I mean, you guys have every right to know that somebody like this, at the very least, you know, I'm not suggesting he knowingly lied. That's what I think. I'm not suggesting I know that, I should say. That's what I definitely think. But either he lied or he's just that bad at what he does that he allowed that to go on that long. Either way, I think that reflects quite greatly on this person. But Dr. Joseph Fair appeared at least 10 times on NBC and MSNBC over the last 2 months to share his fight against COVID-19 with network's viewers. His television appearances, including an interview from his hospital bed, fueled panic about the illness. Describing himself as a fit and healthy 42-year-old, Fair claimed in May that he had absorbed the virus through his eyes while on a flight. As it turns out, there's no reason to believe he ever contracted the virus. Now, again, this is just funny that I made this point yesterday and somebody commented in the chat on the other video that, oh, that's so stupid. How do you not know that you can get virus through your eye? Did I say you can't get a virus through your eyes? It's amazing that people are today attacking what they think your intentions are as opposed to what you literally say. That is a product of the propagandized society we're living in. What I said is that it's ridiculous that he could make that claim. How are you going to know? I mean, especially now that he never even tested positive. Did he just feel something touch his eye and go, oh, that was COVID? I mean, really, take a moment and think about it logically. How did he somehow know? Why it was in his mouth, right? Why wasn't it something he touched in his face? I mean, why couldn't it have been anything? Why was it specifically that it transmitted through his eye? Because he's trying to scare you to thinking, well, even when you don't wear your mask, it can still go right into your eye, right? This is propaganda. And of course, everybody that freaks out about saying that you can't believe you're sharing that, they're missing the point, which is usually how this goes. Now it says, the doctor announced earlier this week that his COVID-19 antibody test had returned negative and his suspected illness from the virus remains an undiagnosed mystery. Yeah, not really. Not much of a mystery at all. You know why? Because he had four different tests. Four. Incredibly, Fair had been tested numerous times for the COVID while receiving treatment for his disease. Each test was negative. But that didn't stop him from continuing to insist that he had the virus. NBC appears similarly unbothered by his negative test results. On May 14th, Today host, Huda Kotb, interesting name, noted the negative tests, but dismissed them as inaccurate. Can you believe that? So suddenly, when inaccurate tests suit their narrative, well, yeah, because we know they're inaccurate. But when we say they're inaccurate because you're removing our rights, you go, you're a conspiracy theorist and you're being irresponsible. Isn't that perfect? Isn't this amazing how we're the crazy ones as they're literally playing both sides of the narrative? That's called being a hypocrite. That's a double standard. Yo, that's dismissed because they're inaccurate. We know that. Clearly you have it, she says. After dismissing the negative test. Why? Because she has symptoms? Because there's no other possible thing that could be happening in this moment? Well, that's the narrative they want to sell you, for sure. The contradictory results were omitted by his subsequent appearances on NBC and MSNBC. Interesting, don't you think? Here was his defense. I had myriad COVID symptoms, was hospitalized in a COVID ward, and treated for COVID-related comorbidities. So what does any of that mean? So he had symptoms. What? So would anybody with any number of respiratory illnesses or even numerous things that aren't respiratory illnesses that just have the same symptoms. So that means nothing. So a doctor would know that, was hospitalized in a COVID ward because they were possibly, right? So many people are hospitalized today. And that's why we're seeing the hospitals rise, because they're concerned and being told they might have it. So it means nothing. Then he was treated for comorbidities. You realize that means any number of things. You could have had diabetes. That's a comorbidity in regard to that. This is an illusion. This is him making it sound like there's a justification when what it means is I had symptoms. So you don't know. I was hospitalized based on those symptoms. We don't know. Treated for things I already had in case I had this. So he doesn't know. And he went on to say it over and over and over and lied and said he has it. The tests don't matter. They're negative again and again and again. And then he has an antibody test that says he doesn't have it after the fact. And he still says that it's probably there. It's just an undiagnosed mystery. This is the apex of the ridiculousness of fake news from mainstream media that are being caught in real time. And still people are telling us we're being irresponsible. Check this out.
In our own small NBC, MSNBC family today. Dr. Joseph Fair, he's hospitalized with COVID-19.
You had all the Purell, you were wiping everything down. So even with all those precautions, you're pretty sure that's where you got it.
I'm pretty sure because I went directly home and I didn't really go out after that. So I'm pretty sure it was the airplane.
You were tested four times for the coronavirus and every time it came back negative, but clearly you have it.
That virus can strike a guy like Dr. Fair. It can strike anyone.
Tonight, an update on one of our own colleagues now battling the coronavirus.
Should we all be wearing some kind of eye protection?
In my opinion, yes.
Oh,
how
big surprise.
How did you know you had it? And did you have anything in your brain that was like, oh no, I can't get it. I'm the person that tells everybody on NBC and MSNBC how to not get it.
He's had malaria three times, but says this was worse.
The anxiety that is provoked when you can't breathe, it's something uniquely very frightening. How could I have possibly, you know, gotten this? And there's many ways that I could have. But
I know that you're also recovering from COVID-19. So just let me first ask you how you're doing.
I'm doing
right. So as a matter of fact, right, as a matter of fact, since we know, despite the negative test, that you do have this, go ahead and let us know how bad it is, right? Is anybody not seeing how clear this is?
Well, you know, I'm 3 weeks out and they're dropping the guard,
kind of thinking that this is all over while it is very much not over. I can tell you that myself.
I would like you to share a little bit about your recovery from COVID-19.
What did not expect?
Again, remember, even at this point, his recovery, right? Understand that Chuck Todd, all of them, already know 4 tests have been negative, and they're still running with the story. That's called a choice.
When, if I got COVID-19, that I would get that ill.
Dr. Joseph Fair is an MSNBC science contributor, recently recovered himself from the coronavirus.
But you were in a bed, you were in oxygen. How's the recovery going?
Oh, my God.
I would say I'm near back to 100%.
What a joke. What a joke. I mean, does anybody not see how clear that is? Right? That they are choosing to spread this information. Now, look, even if he had it, do you realize that they made the choice that he had it, even with the negative test, just because it suited their narrative? And they kept pushing, and they kept pushing, and they kept suggesting, oh, should we wear eye to? Well, I think you should wear eye covering. Oh, okay. It was just a set it up and knock it out of the park every single time and scaring people every single time. Again, I revisit the point. How would you possibly know that you got it through your eye? Right? Okay, so he has a mask on. Okay, my eyes are the only thing that were open. That's called a guess. Right? That's a guess. Because, well, we know we have it, which now we know he didn't. So it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is what mainstream media does. You know, and it's just like what's frustrating is you'll get this point out and somebody will be like, aha, right? The aha, they see it finally. And then tomorrow there'll be a new mainstream media story and a new QAnon, a new Russiagate, and they get worked right back into it. But that's what we do. That's why I will keep doing this day in and day out to continue showing you the reality. Here's another tweet. Well, isn't that something? And he says, the worst I've ever felt, describes his what he felt like to contract COVID-19. He never tested positive, right? I mean, these are things that should be destroying this entire narrative. Now, remember also, there were some other points I wanted to get to. I thought, oh, no, that's what it was. Just the Chris Cuomo thing at the end. And this is RT also notes out. CNN, Chris Cuomo, was also caught breaking quarantine after allegedly falling ill with the virus. But guess what? Chris Cuomo tests negative for COVID-19. It's almost like they're trying to create an illusion to scare you. Now, look, this just because they caught faking does not immediately translate into this is not real or it's not as severe. That is what I think, that it's not as severe. But just realize that's not how that works, right? All this shows you is that they have a vested interest in keeping you fearful about it. That's what it shows you, right? But I do believe that this is what the point was, because there's an entire trillion-dollar agenda here to make sure that you're scared enough about this thing to allow them to do all the things they want to do. But it doesn't stop there. Here's another example of the same kind of mainstream media lies, or this one exactly. This is the government. Which, you know, they're all the mainstream media. Your government, the fake journalist in the mainstream, you know, propaganda networks. It's the mainstream establishment propaganda machine, the government, all of it. And here is a Phoenix mayor getting caught lying about morgues bringing in refrigerator trucks. And says, as a number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients in Maricopa County climbed to new highs this week, Phoenix mayor, now again, these are hospital beds and cases, just like we keep showing you, that do not translate into deaths, even though they're now trying to make that claim. I'll show you what the CDC is saying. But right now, as cases go up because they're testing more, and as we know that they're conflating even that with hypothetical and probable cases, it's just a guaranteed recipe for a bigger number to every week say, oh, look how much it went up, right? And then they're using that to remove rights from you, even though we know that they're inflated, know that they're incorrect, and know that it does not translate into you're in danger. It translates into people are catching this thing or probably already had this thing that are also being told, based on the newest data, is not as severe. If you're under 40, it's somewhere 0.004% of death rate. That's coming from Stanford itself, right? We have the CDC itself telling you that children are literally at a 0% chance of dying because it's about 0.00001%, 0%. Right. So what are we not seeing here? Right. What is the disconnect? But let's keep moving forward. Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego appeared on MSNBC Friday morning for an interview with Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd, again, on the scene of usual suspects, Katie toured to discuss the situation in the state, which had moved to close bars. And guess what? As always, roll back reopening measures to keep you locked down. Right. It's just they teased it in front of you. Don't worry, it's just about to get back. But, oh, you didn't do your job. You weren't wearing masks. Now we got to do it all over again, right? It's all your fault. That's what it is. despite the fact that it was never the point to reopen that again. Not yet, anyway. Once they get their technocratic surveillance network set up, well, yeah, that'll be time. Now, it says, during the interview, Gallego claimed that the country's public health agency had just put in an order for refrigerated trucks because they were running out of space in the morgue. She said, Maricopa County, which is our county public health agency, just announced that they're going to be getting refrigerated trucks because the Abrazo healthcare system has run out of morgue beds. And unlike yesterday, I actually found her saying it. Here she is.
This weekend, Maricopa County, which is our county public health agency, just announced that they are going to be getting refrigerated trucks because the Abrazo healthcare system has run out of morgue beds.
I mean, I just my personal take, now that we definitely know that she's lying, it kind of seems like she's, you know, almost being fed the information or something like that, the way that she's kind of like, you know, I'm getting the more morgue beds. I don't know. That's my take. But which is irrelevant now because she is lying. And I'll show you why. Now, it says, hours later, after that comment, and this is when her comments were proliferating all throughout the media, and of course, see, they're even doing this. Oh, guess what the media didn't do? Their due diligence, right? Big surprise. Make sure you take that point away, right? That she said this, and because a government person said something, everyone in the media reported it as absolute fact. That's not what journalists are supposed to do, but that's what propagandists do, blindly report the government narrative, right? Please notice that. And that was Fox, CNN, MSNBC, the whole shebang. Now it says representatives for the hospital system called and complained that the mayor's comment wasn't true, despite the fact that she made the claim, seemingly with a high degree of certainty, on a popular cable show, because that wasn't intentional. Spokesman Keith Jones told azcentral.com directly that Abrazo hospitals have, quote, adequate morgue space. Right? Now, you could point out that guy could be lying, okay? But it doesn't seem like he would have an interest in that. He's openly saying that's just simply not true. Now, it says, here's the story. Phoenix and the rest of the state have been asked to implement their emergency plans. Okay, so they're being asked to implement plans now that are not necessarily needed to prepare for the possible COVID-19 overloads. Isn't that a little bit different than saying flat out, we don't have enough space, so they can then say, look, people are dying, we don't have enough space. No, you're doing it for the possibility that may happen. That is a lie. That is a straight up lie. Part of the plan, Jones said, was to proactively make sure there would be enough morgue space after, you know, following up. So the hospital system ordered refrigerated storage weeks ago, but they've yet to be deployed. Then she says, well, at this point, it's not needed. Well, funny how that changed pretty quickly, wouldn't you say? Lying. Deceiving. Creating an illusion about something that's not there while they remove all these things from you. But guess what? Just like I said yesterday, now they're swinging back around and going, well, go, guess what? Don't jump the gun too quick. U.S. sees a spike in COVID-19 deaths, as experts predicted. We told you so, right? But guess what? Doesn't seem like that's the case. But before I get to it, a long-expected upturn in U.S. coronavirus deaths has begun, driven by fatalities in states in the South and West. Okay, well, that doesn't sound like the same thing, according to data on the pandemic, which is kind of a caveat in and of itself. Well, the data could be wrong, right? Which is true, but it's funny how they say that. But if it was a straight-up, the U.S. sees a spike, which would mean an average of this country, that's not what it says. It says upturns have begun in states in the South and West. Let's just be clear. That's absolutely not the same thing. The headline, which they hope you read and share without reading the rest, implies that we just have a spike in deaths across the country. That's what they want you to think, but that's not what it says. Even remain down as states like Florida and Texas saw explosions in cases. Okay, it says the number of deaths per day from the virus had been falling for months. We know that already, but it says, and even remained down. So only certain places like Florida and Texas saw explosions in cases. So you could argue those places have an increase in deaths, but then we have to realize that those places are some of the most pointed to right now for the padding of the numbers. And we know that all of them are doing it because they're siding on the air of caution, they want to tell you, but then using those numbers to remove things from you, which is ridiculous. but it's not even across the board. So now, once again, they're playing with the numbers. They're saying, well, look at these two places. They have a spike in deaths. So it's happening. We told you. But if you look at the overall average, that's not what's happening. But of course they say, well, that's now what's happening right now. But I said yesterday, California's averaging 91 reported deaths per day and Texas close behind. Okay, but we already know as a matter of fact that those numbers are not accurate, especially even from Texas, right? I mean, we just talked about this, and Texas is one specifically. I'm just trying to find it really quickly for you so I can show you this. Here we go. No, guess not. Well, I had the article, I thought I did, from... Oh, here it is right here. So this is the one I already showed you. And this is in Collin County, right? This is Texas. So this is one of the places where they're now claiming, see, we have a spike in deaths, okay? But we now know as a matter of fact that they are making you probable as a probable case, which you then can die from and then will get marked down as a COVID case, even though they never proved it, if you simply have a compilation of a few things that could amount to anything. And if you want to go through this, I've already gone through it. They're all listed. But as one of the people involved in this says, if you have a subjective fever, which is subjective, by the way, and have a headache and just live in one of these high-risk places, this being Collin County, you are now meeting the qualifications for a probable case. That's it. It's done. Right? So you get put into bed. They're not testing everybody. They openly say that. Then you die a week later. Well, you get marked as a COVID case because they said that. You could have had the flu. You could have had a number of things. But too late, you're a COVID case. Okay? That is the point. So coming back to this claim, we know that Texas, being one of them, is having a spike after they announced that they are increasing cases. I mean, this is elementary, guys. It's elementary. It's very basic. And then they use the places that are doing this to point to and say, see, we have an increase in deaths. But that's not true. Look what this one person says, as if this represents some dramatic increase. I counted like 10 patients in less than 4 days in our ICU. And then I just stopped doing that because there were so many. Wait a minute. I counted like 10. So you weren't even sure that it was 10? Okay. And then I just stopped counting. That's just, I mean, that does not sound like something. That sounds kind of ridiculous to me. It says the virus has killed more than 130,000 people in the U.S. So they're telling us, we know those numbers aren't accurate. And it says, and more than 500,000 worldwide, according to Johns Hopkins University, who's been involved since Event 201, though the true numbers, it says, are believed to be higher. Based on what? I mean, the numbers are based on the testing broadly showing the antibodies. It's a guarantee the numbers are not as high, that the death rate is lower. And yet they're just saying that because they're not going to be held to that. It's just saying, though, the true numbers are believed to be higher. So it's not, we're not saying it as a certainty, but they want you to believe that, don't they? Well, as I pointed out, they're claiming it's a spike across the whole country, even though they're only pointing to specific states. Well, guess what? It's actually going down, according to the CDC from the 10th, from 2 days ago. This is the last updated on the 10th. Okay, it says the overall percentage of respiratory specimens testing positive for SARS-CoV-2 decreased from week 26 to week 27 nationally, but increased in 5 regions. So even the testing, I mean, you realize that means, I mean, even as they scream about cases increasing in certain areas, the CDC is right there telling you the percentage of positive tests actually went down in the last week. That doesn't seem to be what the media is reporting, is it? The media is telling you that the cases are spiking everywhere and we're all going to die. And the CDC is saying, well, it actually went down about 0.5%. Okay. On top of that, it says nationally, levels of influenza-like activity remain below baseline for the 12th week and in all 10 surveillance regions for the past 10 to 13 weeks. So not only that, not only just COVID, but influenza-like illnesses. Well, doesn't that seem to suggest that they're just kind of bunching all these things together to make COVID look worse, seeing as how everything's going down? It also says most regions reported increases in the percentage of visits. How do you explain that? Right? So basically, they're saying that the number of influenza-like cases, the baseline for the 12th week is down, right? But then the increase in cases or people going to the hospital for these things has dramatically increased. Doesn't that seem to suggest that people are scared and they don't know what's going on and they're going in on the air of the side of caution? And then when they go in, they count them as a COVID case? Yeah, It's a perfect situation to make it look worse than it is. And here's the point. Mortality from the CDC's website. It says, based on death certificate data, and by the way, we know that that's not true because they've already shown you that putting it on death certificates, as Dr. Jensen showed you, even though they don't know for sure. And then they even say, as Del Bigtree pointed out, on their own documentation, that you don't even have to prove it. And don't worry, we're not going to look into it, so don't worry about that. It actually says that. Based on that faulty data, the percentage of deaths attributed to pneumonia, and I'm going to be clear, faulty in the sense that it's going to be way lower when you remove that stuff, right? The percentage of deaths attributed to pneumonia, influenza, or COVID decreased from 6.9 during the week of 26 to 5.5 during week 27. Now, of course, the point is, remember, they're talking about up here, that all of these things have gone down together, okay? So when all these together are continuing to go down, that seems to suggest that they're going down. But this is just numbers. And data, and anything can be tweaked and manipulated as we see very clearly right here, right? So it doesn't translate into an absolute ever, but realize that they are trying actively right in front of you to tweak these things to give you the illusion they want you to see. Here's the World Health Meter, or whatever it's called, the place for coronavirus stuff. Now, yes, you can see an uptick in cases, but it's not, or in deaths. But look at the uptick in cases, look at the time frame. Okay, going from, I mean, they're talking about a week variable. We're talking about May all the way to June 5th, and we're seeing a very small increase. Okay, and the point is that they've already passed their mark as they're trying to sell you on the idea that, see, it's still happening. Experts were right. But then also remember that the deaths are not even accurate because we know as a matter of fact, and I'm going to repeat this over and over, they are padding the numbers, both the cases and the deaths. That's a fact, and they've openly admitted to it. So as these deaths slowly tick up, that shouldn't mean anything at this point. But you should always be cautious and skeptical no matter what. But of course, as this is all being manipulated and lied about and deceived, and all the things are being removed from you and your life is being shut down and your business is gone and you no longer have a job and you can't pay your bills, well, guess what? Don't worry. The government's going to tax you because of the actions they took, right? Because that'll save the economy at your expense, or so we're being told. Major, major tax increases are about to slam America as cities and states want you to pay for the COVID fallout. You know, that thing that none of us really wanted, the thing they forced on us and they're still forcing on us now based on fake data. Yeah, that thing they're still doing, they're going to make you pay for it. And guess what? They already took a bunch of money from you and gave all that money to a bunch of corporations. Half the country hasn't even gotten their stimulus check yet, but they're going to make you pay taxes anyway because it's your fault, right? We already told you, it's your fault. You weren't listening. You didn't wear the mask. You didn't go inside. You didn't do what your government said, so now you're going to pay for it. This is where we are. And there's nothing justified about this. It says, while Americans clamor to figure out how to make ends meet in their own households, so too is government trying to figure out how to balance its budgets. And I believe this is from Waking Times originally. Now, it says, it makes a good point in here that Americans are struggling in the same way, though, so are governments. That shouldn't make you feel in the slightest bit concerned. They'll be fine. Don't worry. But right now, they're hurting because all that money they were siphoning from you this whole time to carry out their agendas and use that money to then enforce their unjust laws and restrictions on you. Well, now they don't have that money because you don't have it either. So they're struggling. But instead of making sure that you're good first, they're going to tax you first. So they're good first. And then maybe swing back around and help you after the fact, but probably not. Right? This is the reality. But just realize that like this is what they're saying right here. That, for instance, which one was it? It says, I'm just missing it all of a sudden. I thought he had an exact reference to a specific area. Either way, it doesn't matter. The point is a lot of different places right now. In specific, I think he mentioned like Alaska and different states that are more than most dependent on your tax dollars are in a real bad way. And that's why we're now seeing this increase. Now it says the question for mayors and governors will be, I mean, understand, this is the ever-present question for government. How much money can we extract from the people without causing extreme poverty and triggering widespread revolt? Now, let's be clear that they'll kind of err on the side of the revolt, right? They don't care if you're that poor. The reason they care if you're that poor is because being that poor will lead to revolt. That's right. That's how it works. But as long as they can manipulate you enough to think that you being poor is your fault, and you being poor is actually something that can be remedied with the government, that, well, then they won't revolt. So they play this game. They walk that line. And right now, that's what they're doing. But they're clearly leaning into the revolt side of this because they're taxing you based on their actions that were unjust to begin with, which should just be the definition of government. But that's what we're dealing with. And it says the answer, of course, is taxes, primarily property taxes, because that's the one thing people are still paying while locked down at home and unable to shop. And a couple of notes here. Now, some of these aren't as I argue this is only going to increase. As everything we're dealing with, it's the boiling frog, the totalitarian tiptoe. They're not going to come out and be like, give me 50% of your money. It's going to be like, well, here's a slight increase in taxes here. Here's a slight tweak over here. And then, you know, you go forward a year, suddenly we're paying 50% taxes and we didn't see it happen, right? That's, which by the way, we're basically already doing. So that was just an analogy, right? That's basically, most Americans pay far more of their yearly salary than they realize. But this is only going to get worse. That was my point. Now, Nashville has apparently already increased property taxes by 32%. I just looked into this. Apparently, it's already happened. 32%. Think about what that means for people that don't have a job, don't have income, can barely feed their families right now, and maybe didn't even get their stimulus check, and now they're going to increase their property taxes by 32%. That's crazy. That's a monumental increase for people living paycheck to paycheck. But you know what? They don't care. They'll probably take your house. They'll probably do everything they can to benefit them and claim it's all in the best interest and it's your fault for not doing what you were told. Right? Why didn't you go get a job at the mask factory? That's your fault, right? Texas is looking at a proposed 8% increase in property taxes. Then this says that Chicago says that a property tax increase is on the table. New York is pitching the idea of tax increases for wealthy people. Now, obviously, that will be a little less upsetting for most people. But at the end of the day, just because we're saying wealthy people doesn't mean the very same people that we think we're fighting. There's a lot of wealthy people that have nothing to do with this. A lot of wealthy people that are just worked hard and made money, right? But at the end of the day, they're all still Americans. And they shouldn't, we gotta be careful about this overcompensating game. That's what we see with this whole race divide right now. Right. And I don't argue that's what the genuine intentions of this movement were. I argue that's what happened when it got co-opted and manipulated and used. But they go the other way. Right. No, we're not looking for equality. We're looking to take over. Right. And that's the point. Same thing here. This is at the end of the day, we don't want to just say, well, all of you people on the other side should be screwed because you're better off than we are. No, they're Americans too, and they have rights too. The point is that we should be fighting all together, the wealthy and the poor alike, against the government. It's the same difference in the other situation. They're trying to divide us on anything they can. So taxes for the wealthy, taxes for you, taxes for Americans should be off the table right now. New Jersey is expected to see an unknown increase in taxes as the governor moves to borrow billions of dollars to cover budget gaps. Right, so that's your tax dollars. Borrow from who? Or from whom? The government. They're going to borrow billions of dollars from the government, which is your tax dollars, or at the very least, money they print, which then lessens your dollar's value. And either way, they're taking money from you to cover the budget gaps, which were created by their actions, which were unjust and based on lies. Government. Freedom. Many states across the nation will be looking at tax increases in many areas. As well, corporate taxes, other things as well, but excise and sales tax, property tax, and gross receipt tax. You know, all the things that will affect you when you go to the store. This is the true breakdown of what they're trying to create. And this is just, they're trying to create money to continue to achieve their goals. I mean, this has nothing to do with helping you. Does anybody think that paying extra property tax is going to somehow translate into you getting your job back or creating your job, your business that was destroyed, or even helping the economy? No, that money is going to go to the government. They're going to use most of it on the military, and then they're going to create weird bureaucratic programs they say will help you, but really benefit them. That's the reality we've been in for as long as I can remember. But now it's far more serious, because everybody is in the same position that those few dregs of society were in a while back. That we said, well, it's their fault. They didn't know. They didn't go to school. They didn't try hard enough. Well, now we're all there. So hopefully we can see past that illusion. Now, California.
Officials in Yuba County.
I forgot that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. I forgot these ridiculous mainstream pop-up windows. Let's see if it happens again. Okay, good. Now, California now doing the same thing. Based on these. Remember, California and Texas were the two that they pointed to. So California, of course, we're justified because we have the rising cases based on their bloated and manipulated numbers. Now, I should also say, just for the sake of, you know, full disclosure, that wouldn't be the right term, but just to be broad and fair about this, it could be that there is an increase. That's just, it's something, I don't believe that. There could be. But the point to make there is that even if there is an actual increase, they're still padding the numbers and they're still making it look worse than it is. Right? So for even those people out there that believe that that's exactly what's happening, they're still making it look even worse on top of that. So they're trying to deceive you. But California orders Placer County, by the way, this I grew up in Sacramento, it's right in my backyard, to close several businesses, halt indoor operations. Auburn, California. Placer County will halt indoor operations and close several businesses starting Sunday. Right? So again, we're back to shutdowns, lockdowns. So all those businesses that were just barely hanging on because they just hoped that we would get back in time, too late. Done. Gone. Right? I mean, let's pretend like, and even if they're not gone, that means they're using their personal stockpile, their personal funds, their personal savings to make sure that they can keep the business afloat until they just have to pray and hope that the government allows them to do what they have every right to do right now. And you don't realize that this is putting something in our minds? I mean, this is a point that I want to make real quick. It's creating a routine. We're doing this long enough and over routine and over, and they're repeating it over and over to where the idea that the government has the right to tell you you can't open your business becomes set in your mind. Well, because virus, right? Well, that just makes sense. Well, next day it'll be because ISIS, or next day it'll be because some new threat. Well, we got to shut down the businesses because this is a problem. Oh, well, okay then, because the government has that right. Well, no, they don't. And we're in this position now where this is being normalized. And I want you to think about what that means. Even if you believe this is all real, this is going to have lasting effects on the way, on the dynamic between Americans and their government. That's the, one of the largest points, I think, because it makes people blindly trust. And now, like, here's an example. I mean, this is kind of a weird personal example, but it just stands out because it's interesting. I forget the exact number, but there's a specific number of hours, even days predominantly, where it takes to develop a habit, right? So you do something, and the next day you come back to the same situation. You're not going to have an urge to do the exact same thing because it's not set in your, you know, neural pathways or however you want to put it. So after a certain amount of days, you come back into that situation. The first thing you want to do is that thing because it's a habit now. It's become rooted in your mind and it's instinctual. I had this happen it's a really random example, but I have my toothpaste in my bathroom and I have it in a drawer. For whatever reason, I took it out of the drawer and I set it on the top of the counter. For a week, every single time I went to brush my teeth, I reached down to the counter and I said, oh, that's right, it's up here. And then I grabbed it up there. The 6 hours later, I come back in, do the same thing. And I'm going, how come I can't remember that? It's because it's habitual. It's because my mind is not thinking, it's instinctual. I'm going down to the drawer because that's where I go. Now, translate that into what we're dealing with. Americans are now every day waking up to checking with their government. Do I need to do this? What are the new regulations? Am I allowed to go outside? Is there a lockdown right now? Do I have to wear a mask? And you're checking. That's normalizing it. We are going to move forward thinking that we have to, and think about the younger generations wearing masks in school, even though they have a 0% chance of dying. It is normalizing the control structure. Just like we've always said about the things in schools, the police in schools, the way that they've been doing this forever, this is right on its face. And they're creating a normalized situation where people will move forward blindly listening to the government for your safety. Just had to express that. Now it says the California Department of Public Health released a watch list. A watch list. Doesn't that make you feel warm and comfortable? Of counties with elevated disease transmission rates. Not deaths, but transmission rates. So cases, right? Or the spread. It says increased hospitalization or limited hospital capacity. Placer County was added to that list. Now it says any county that remains on that watch list for 3 days must close several businesses for a minimum of 3 weeks. Which I don't understand the 3 days. It's totally arbitrary, right? I mean, are we going to imagine if something had like the 3 days after a situation in this where they're telling us there weeks and weeks go by before things change? It's a recipe for making sure these places close down. It says, unless they're offering sit down dining meals, right? Because we know when you sit down right next to somebody at a small table that suddenly the COVID-19 no longer fights you. It's that magic restaurant immunity, right? Or suddenly you're protesting for Black Lives Matter, suddenly it no longer attacks you, right? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Obviously, they're allowing businesses and major things that they claim are essential to continue and just gobble up all of the market that clearly, I bet you after this, years later, if we go back and look at what businesses capitalized the most, how much you want to bet every single one of them have direct ties to the government or have specific lobbying ties or basically have people invested in their survival. That's probably what's happening. You know, things like Boeing and Walmart and how we're obviously seeing that happen. Because they're essential, they tell us, but yours is not. But don't worry, go in and have a meal. Take your mask off when you eat, and that's all good, right? As you're talking and eating and chomping and spitting and spraying, you know, because we know that happens when you eat. But you're all safe because you're in a restaurant and sitting down. But it says the state thresholds for the categories is greater than 10% increase and less than 20% availability for ICU beds, respectively. This is their marker, right? This is what they need. Let me make that more clear. In regard to, you know, justify the lockdowns. Here's the actual website for where they're making it very clear how they break this down. So if you're a county or an area in California and you meet these requirements, you will shut down. You don't have a choice. It says elevated disease transmission, the 14-day case rate, and 7-day testing positivity rate are used to assess the level of COVID-19 burden in a county. Okay. So if the case rate, which by the way, cases which we know are being padded and lied about. So that's not, why would you use that to shut down places? This is exactly my point. The cases are being manipulated, whether it's erring on the side of caution or not. You can't err on the side of caution and knowingly make probable cases and then use that to shut down people's businesses. 14-day case rate. So as they continue to go up, as they test more people, and as the CDC admitted that they're conflating antibody tests with viral tests, that's still happening. So that's a guarantee that cases will go up because the more that they test, the more the people will have antibodies because the antibodies don't go away. I mean, if you test long enough, eventually everybody in the country will test positive because they will all have the antibodies. That doesn't mean that they're all sick. So here we are. So the 14-day case rate is guaranteed to go up if they keep lying to us like this. So that's a guaranteed way to make sure these people lock down. And 7-day testing positivity rate, which we already discussed. This is a manipulated scenario. Now it says the higher the number, the more a county is impacted by it. Oh, is that how it translates? Right? So the more people are tested for antibodies, even though they're not sick and they're not spreading anything and they're totally fine, does that then translate into more impact? Well, if they were all actually sick and all actually severely sick, well, yeah, maybe. But we also know that as they were telling us, 80% one of the last numbers I saw actually, and I think this was more of a specific location, was I think 60%, but either way, 60 to 80% of people are asymptomatic. We're told by the same people that are telling you to shut down, but then they also tell you that it's very rare that those people will spread the virus. So you're testing these people, they're coming back asymptomatic, they're not even feeling anything, and yet that's a case. Okay, so the higher those numbers go, he's telling you that's more impact on the county. That doesn't make sense. It's just basic stuff. It says a county is flagged for elevated disease transmission criteria if the case rate per 100,000 is greater than 100. It's cases. So the more they test, that's guaranteed to happen. Case rate per 100,000 is greater than 25, and testing positivity, 8%. That's in regard to how much they're testing. And this is the whole point. But it says 7-day testing positivity, the total number of positive PCR tests divided by the total number of PCR tests conducted. The PCR test that we know is based on a culture that was scraped from something in the very beginning that's never even been proved to be COVID-19. They never did Koch postulates. And we also know the PCR test is wildly inaccurate. And the person who invented that test has said it shouldn't be used for this purpose. But here we are. And they're using that to tell you that you have to shut your business down again. Now ask yourself again, if you think that this is something that, you know, counter to Trump and his agenda, that he's trying to fight these bad people, why is he allowing it to happen? It's wildly unconstitutional. Under the Constitution, the president being the leading fact, the leading entity in that whole thing in the regard to our infrastructure, right? He's the president. He has every right, every legal right, every constitutional right to step up and tell the governor that he is violating constitutional rights, and that supersedes anything else. And he could stop it tomorrow. So if you really believe he thinks that, ask yourself why he's allowing it to happen. Allowing people to continue to be killed by being intubated, even though they're not really sick. Or any number of things we keep pointing to. Now, as it says, if more people are being hospitalized for COVID-19, it is likely that disease transmission has increased. Oh, isn't that great? So based on the hypothetical situation, their assumption that this is the case, well, they're going to remove everything from you. It says monitoring changes in the number of individuals who are hospitalized for COVID-19 is another way to assess the burden of COVID-19 in the county. The changes to number of individuals who are hospitalized. Didn't we just point out that, I mean, here's the CDC. They just said that hospitalizations have increased even though the actual diseases have gone down. Why? Because they're scaring people. Because they're telling you that you need to because you're in danger. So people rush to the hospital with the sniffles. That's what's happening. It's so very clear to me. So they're just simply the increase in hospitalizations, right? So if you go in and say, I feel sick, which you could just have a cold, you could have the flu, it could just be in your head. You could have eaten something funny and have foodborne illness. But if you go in and say that, based on the things we just showed you, right? Based on these markers, you're a probable case, right? They don't even care. You're probable. Okay, well, just to err on the side of caution, we're going to put you to bed. Now you're hospitalized. See how that works? Now that counts as an increase in hospitalization. I mean, this is really, as I said, elementary, guys. This is basic stuff. And yet we're being told we're crazy for actually pointing to the reality and the science. Like, I'm not saying anything other than the fact that these are obviously, this is fallible, or this is faulty. Right? I mean, they are obviously making mistakes here, whether it's intentional or not. I definitely think it's intentional. So that's the only thing we're pointing out. But they're suggesting we're saying some, I mean, this is where we are today, as I keep saying, that they are attacking your intentions, as opposed to just saying, yeah, that's obviously the truth. Like, they could say, well, yes, that's a true study, but here's the full context. Here's what I think. And I could disagree with what they think, but they could argue that. But to come around and say that that study is fake or misinformation, even though it's from the CDC and it's being repeated more and more over and over and over, is just, it is an intentional way to disparage real information. Now, it also says the county is considering to meet the increasing hospitalization criteria if over 10% increase in the average number of confirmed COVID-19 patients hospitalized. Now, they say confirmed, but, you know, and this would be a caveat for me to further look into. As I understand it, California is doing the exact same thing in regard to their cases. I haven't seen a difference. I haven't seen California make a difference between confirmed and probable. Right? There's not some definition that I found where they actually say, well, this is the ones where right now they're using the probable case to then populate the COVID numbers. I've already shown that. So that's something for you to look into further. But either way, we're going to see increased even with confirmed cases because the tests are inaccurate. But a county is considered to meet the limited hospital capacity if under 20% of the staffed IC beds are available or under 25% of ventilators are available. Yeah, those ventilators that kill over 90% of the people that use them that have, quote, COVID-19. Yeah, let's make sure we have those and let's shut down if we don't because we got to keep killing those people. Under 20% of staffed ICU beds are available. As somebody else pointed out, we could put beds anywhere. You could open Arco Arena and put, or, you know, a sporting event area and put beds in there. I mean, I'm not saying that's what we need. My point is, this is a fallacy, especially knowing the numbers are being manipulated. And now, of course, and this is going across the country right now, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards announced an executive order for masks requiring everyone over the age of 8. Bars will be closed for on-premises consumption. Not that's the breaking app that's saying that in a weird way, closed, but for on-premises consumption is okay. This is directly from the office of the governor. Edwards orders statewide mask mandate, closes bars to on-premises consumption. Oh, excuse me. So I guess that was accurate, which is interesting, by the way, because realize that other places are saying it's okay as long as they come in and sit down. As long as you're serving sit-down service, it's okay, right? So even across state lines, we have completely different mandates, which don't make sense. But they all say they're based on the science, right? Isn't that lovely? As COVID-19 continues to spread across Louisiana, because they're testing more. Cases are what we're talking about, not deaths, because the CDC said the deaths are still going down. So as we test more and we get more antibody tests based on the CDC and more tests that we keep pointing out, it's going to keep going up. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. More mask mandates. I mean, this is just really crazy to see. Now, by the way, again, I keep pointing out these breaking news. I got this. I believe I saw this early this morning. I couldn't find this anywhere, not even on Bloomberg. And by the way, it says Bloomberg right there because that's Bloomberg is the one populating their feed on this breaking news app. But realize that I searched for this and I couldn't find this or anything on this, not even from the Office of the Governor website until like, oh, that's not true. I don't think I actually checked this website. I checked another government website. But either way, the point is, it's very hard to find this stuff until they want you to see it, is my point. So take it upon yourself to do your own research, right? Don't wait for the media to send you information. Go directly to the source, right? Go look at the governor's website. Go look directly at the CDC. Go look directly at anything and look for yourself. Or, you know, get these apps and get direct feeds from Associated Press and Reuters and the places where these mainstream outlets get their information, right? Don't be at the will, the mercy of these manipulators. But my point in saying this, guys, is that these are, even as we see all this stuff, they're still creating mandates and shutting things down. And, you know, and not to go over all this stuff every time and over and over and over, but if you remember, and that's one of the clips that I'm saying I will be putting up, is in regard to the mask stuff, right? And all these different things that I've continued to show you. That there's a lot of studies and information from multiple time frames from 2015 all the way to now, where they show you that this stuff is not actually helping you. Primarydoctors.org said that the masks don't help you. The science isn't there. Here's a study from 2015 where they actually point blank say that cloth masks actually make you more sick, higher rates compared to other things with cloth masks, even as they're now telling you that you need to wear cloth masks. Right? Here's the one, the other abstract where it says there's no evidence. They don't have sufficient evidence to suggest that it does anything. I mean, it's just, these are all, this is the CDC, this is the NIH, there's multiple studies from that. We have OSHA. I mean, on and on and on. We can show you these things, and there's no way that's considered cherry picking. This is the most recent information from the CDC, which is this one right here. Oh, that's the one I just showed you, right? This is from May 2020. But as I said, I've gone over those in depth before, and the reality is, the science is not there, period. Which I find very revealing, especially coming into this topic. Donald Trump is now wearing a mask. And now that doesn't, now look, let me be very clear. This is exactly my point about all of this. I said nothing more than, and as you can see, and now that even he is wearing a mask, can we finally get past the two-party illusion? Did I say that he had not previously said that he would wear a mask in certain locations? No, I didn't. Did I say anything other than, look, he's wearing a mask? No. But of course, everybody jumps in the comment, he said he was going to wear it if he went to the hospital. Okay, I didn't say anything about that. People are arguing against what they think your intentions are today. That is a product of the social engineering. That's the two-party system in work, in effect. My point in showing you this, guys, in making it the picture of the show today, was simply to make a point that I made a long time ago, that you would have asked any number of people, even in the chat, I saw people saying, that's not real. That's fake. They made that up. I already saw it on Twitter until they just quickly do a quick search and realize, oh, he already talked about it. And then they go, well, it's justified because of this, even though they just called it fake, right? He'll never do that. That's fake news. Oh, well, here's why he did it, though. It makes sense. That's cognitive dissonance right in your face. The point in showing you this, guys, is that I've told you from the beginning, it's all an illusion. The whole battle between the left and the right, it's all coming around to coalesce in the middle, just like the QAnon Russiagate thing meeting behind the back where they're blindly getting you to trust the government once again from two different sides of the paradigm. That's where we are. So when he starts wearing a mask after making this whole big thing about it, and yes, and I'm going to go over it. He did say in the past that he would in certain situations. But remember, at the time, all of his supporters argued that that's 4D chess. He was saying that so they didn't attack him. Well, now it's the same thing. Well, the mask now is a 4D chess move, right? It's always an excuse. The point is this, whether you think it's some kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, secret handshake move by Trump, is actually making people think it's right to do it. Now, again, and Trump did say this, and I will show you. I do argue, and I agree with him on this, that you should wear one if you think you should, right? It's your choice. But having him say that, and then having the people support him say that, see, now he's just playing the game, and he didn't tell us we have to. Just like he told you, you wouldn't have to take the vaccines mandatory, right? It's one step at a time. This is why it's so difficult, because people never want to see the single steps forward. The next one will be where it's okay, well, now we do have to wear it when we're outside, and it's only because of the new data we just got, and Trump, the new experts, and we trust them, and they're Republicans, and whatever it is, whatever that excuse is next time, they'll all say, we'll see, it makes sense, and I trust him, and he's okay. Just own that it's where the point is that you're willing to blindly follow the man. Now, here's the point. As I said, this person says he clearly stated that he would never wear a mask in a hospital. I'm surprised you're not paying attention, right? How did you extrapolate what I said? How did you get that? And what am I not paying attention to? Is he not wearing a mask in that picture? Did I say anything other than he's wearing a mask? I didn't. You know, so how do you even argue with that, right? But it just boils down to the point. It boils down to the reality that he's wearing it. Oops. And this will have an effect on whether people think it's right to. Now, yes, you should wear a mask if you think it helps you. You should wear a mask if you think stopping spit flying out of your mouth is going to protect somebody in danger, which, yeah, I mean, that makes sense to a small degree, right? Somebody who is at higher risk, even though we know that the numbers even under 60 are very, very low, right? Do you wear a mask when the flu is going around? You don't. So that doesn't make sense, but whatever. It's your choice, right? Just like that person said in the other video, when the 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis last year, were you wearing a mask during the tuberculosis pandemic? No, right? I mean, and as he said, why? Well, because the mainstream media didn't tell you to. That's why. So now that he's wearing a mask, it's slowly opening that door, even to the people who are telling us that it was the end of the world, right? That this is the one thing, and it's a muzzle, and they're trying to get, and Trump will never do this. Trump's on our side. And here we are. And now they're just going to equivocate. Now this one, oh, God, you know what? Okay, good. This one looks like it refreshed. So I think I had some stuff in here, but I'll just go through the first parts. I have this one over here still. But it says Donald Trump wears face mask for the first time, which, by the way, I would argue in public, because at least he says he wore it in certain places before. So, you know, being fair, right? That doesn't seem accurate. And it says has worn a mask in public for the first time. So they did say it there, but again, why couldn't you just put that in the title? I mean, that seems like BBC trying to manipulate the situation because their propaganda, like so many others. But it says the president was visiting the Walter Reed Military Hospital. He says, this is what I want people to see. I've never been against masks. Right? So right there, that's quite different than saying that he would wear one if in a certain area. He does then say, I do believe that they have a time and a place, right? I've never been against masks is very different. So never being against masks directly challenges the sentiment from the predominant support base for Donald Trump. But of course, the argument will be, well, this is what he said to the media, so they won't attack him, right? He's playing the game. He's doing it so the media thinks he's on their side and blah, 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 right? And always there's something like that. Whenever it comes out that there's something that's challenging it, that's always the way it goes. He has previously said he would not wear a mask and even mocked people like Joe Biden, which he did. So did all of his supporters. Joe Biden wore a mask on a picture once. He wore it in a bunch. But the first time he wore that black mask, just simply wearing it, people went to town. Troll the Trump supporters making all these pictures of Biden wearing the mask. Look at these people all part of the same. They're all trying to do this to you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, here's one picture of Trump wearing a mask. Oh, it doesn't apply the same way? Exactly. But on Saturday, he said, I think we're in a hospital, especially in that particular setting where you're talking to a lot of soldiers and people that in some cases just got off operating tables. I think it's a great thing to wear a mask, right? That is logical. No one will deny that. And I'm not saying otherwise. I agree. If you're thinking that you going into an isolated area where people are at high risk, that's the only reason these masks make sense. And that's what any doctor, even Dr. Buttar, will tell you, because you put the mask on to stop some of the spread of actual, I mean, understand, even blood and spit doesn't even fully, I even just showed you, unless you're wearing an N95 respirator, even then it doesn't stop at all. But it's meant to stop the big pieces, the macro particles. Other than that, it in fact is dangerous for you to wear for extended periods of time. And it even shows on the study that I continue to point out that it shows no evidence either way that these things have any effect. And it even goes on to say, and I'm not trying to catch it off the top right now, just by glancing at it, but it does say in this study that it does not show, and I've shown it at least five times on my show already, it does not show that it protects either side, right? Either the patient or the doctor. And the study only simply says that there is not enough evidence to suggest that there's any effect. That was May 2020. Here's one from June 2015, That's April. And there was another one from June that I showed as well. All three of them came to the same conclusion that there was not enough evidence from 2015 all the way to 2020. Right? I mean, we also talk about OSHA, right? OSHA saying the same thing. Here's the OSHA website, Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which, by the way, is the group telling you that it's unsafe oxygen environment if you wear a mask for extended period of time. But it says right here, face cloths will not protect the wearer or the surgeon. Will not protect the wearer against air. I mean, this is the reality. So this is a problem as it goes forward in the idea that we're seeing this be normalized. And the point is here, he says, I'm all for masks. That is a change in tone. BBC is a ridiculous propaganda outlet, but that is right. There is a clear tone. Of course, all of his people supporting him, just like they would, the left would defend Biden or Pelosi in the same way, are going to go over the top to try to make this make sense and justify and equivocate the whole thing. Well, it's weird because he did say that they would wear him in here, and they just go reeling to try to make this make sense. But I do actually see some people saying, okay, dang it, you know, that's it for me, right? And it should be. And no, that doesn't mean let's jump over to the Democrat side. No, that means finally, hopefully, we're seeing that all of them are the problem, both left and right. And the way that they play this game is the left and right, right? Where one side will always be resistant and the other side plays the game of the bad guy. And it always ends up amounting to, you know, this, what they want to happen, which is where this is going. But they have to give you the fake resistance. Otherwise, you don't feel like there's actually two parties, right? It's funny how suddenly the Trump administration has become the resistance, right? So now, before it was the Democrats were the resistance against the Trump thing, Russia, and the overthrow of our government. And now, suddenly it's Trump who's resisting the Democrats and their evil plan. It's just, it's this how it always goes, right? It goes back and forth. They're all the problem. Mr. Trump Mr. Trump also maintained that face coverings do not need to become mandatory to curb COVID-19 spread, right? Just, that's important. I'm not trying to say he said otherwise. Just very clear. But that doesn't mean, one, that they won't eventually become mandatory based on new information, or that it will be mandatory in the way that we keep telling you it's already going to become, which will be, well, yeah, it's not mandatory, but you just can't do this without it, right? Can't go shopping, can't go on the bus, can't do this, can't do that, which plenty of places already have on the books right this moment, Republican and Democrat, Texas and California. It's already happening. Remember, we just showed you that Texas is now saying you have to wear it even inside. I mean, no, he said he's recommending that you'd also wear it inside the house. Remember how it started before? We're recommending you wear face masks. Well, now we're telling you to. Well, now we're recommending you wear it inside. Next week, it'll be now we're telling you to, right? This is how it goes. So when he says it's not mandatory, it doesn't really mean all that much, especially when you even consider that I don't even think he's the one that ultimately makes the decision. But that's my personal take. But he says, speaking to Business Fox News, on Wednesday, he said, quote, I'm all for masks. That is a fundamental contradiction to what people have been saying. When asked whether he would wear one, the president said, if I were in a tight situation, and this is what his followers are saying, with people, I would absolutely, right? Which is different from saying I'm all for them, right? He added that people have seen him wear one before, which I don't think that's accurate. Maybe people on his administration, if that's the case. Mr. Trump said he would have no problem with wearing a mask publicly and that he sort of liked how he looked with one on, likening himself to the Lone Ranger. Does that sound like it makes sense? He said he would wear one no problem. To wearing it in public. And that he sort of liked it, quote, how he looked. Yeah, maybe it's all a big 4D chess, but maybe he's doing this just to trick the Democrats, right? That's always a self-serving line. Or it's time for you to wake up and see that all of them are the problem and all of them are forcing this on you, not just the left, all of them. And it's all coming down right now in front of you. Oh, and guess what? For those that are still clinging on to the two-party illusion, as Trump is saying, hey, masks are okay, but only in certain situations, right? But that's a small change and it's changing in the direction we're warning you about. Don't forget, remember, this is where this came from. As Don't Support the War reaches out, thank you for sharing. There's more. Did you know the global push for mask wearing comes from Davos Forum, right? Davos, right? The whole network, World Health Organization, Bill Gates, and the whole thing. Another tie to the same idea. The Davos Forum funded lobbying group It comes from Davos Forum funded lobbying group called Masks for All. Check the scary who's who of their founders and team and the laughably bad Photoshop on their photos to add masks to their faces. I did see that, actually. Now, actually, let's look. First. Oh, that's the same one. Yeah, well, the pictures of them down here, it's pretty damn ridiculous. But I don't think I took note of the team necessarily. So now that they're saying that, let's take a quick look. I did look, actually. I just don't think anything really stood out to me. Ooh. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, isn't that incredibly interesting? To join this workspace, you'll need to ask the person who originally invited you to the link. So you can't click on the About Us page or join our team. Or maybe that's just a link. Anyway, let's get back to the point. So if there was more about the people involved, don't support the war party, let me reach out with more information. I'm not seeing, I did look through this whole website, but here's the real point. This is from, this is, as they pointing out, Davos Forum funded About Us and the hashtag Masks for All story About Us. Hashtag for Masks for All is an all-volunteer org that started and powered the movement for people and governments to follow, get this, the overwhelming scientific evidence that shows we need to wear masks, not even just wear masks. Get this is unreal. That we need the overwhelming scientific evidence that shows we need to wear homemade masks, not just surgical, but specifically homemade masks in public to slow COVID-19. Again, I refer back. This is a study from the NIH. It's on the U.S. National Library of Medicine. It said, and this, it's called a cluster randomized trial of cloth masks compared with medical masks. Cloth masks being the ones they're telling you right there that you need to wear. It literally says that cloth masks had a significantly higher rate of influenza-like illness compared with the control arm. And the study goes on to point out that you have a significantly higher chance of getting sick from influenza-like illness because of the cloth mask, because it catches moisture and develops problems and spores and you get sick. That's a fact. I mean, this is public knowledge today. But yet they then told you to wear cloth masks when this all started, knowing that this study was there, knowing it's been followed up on and confirmed. And then, again, we come back to this point where they're now telling you that there's overwhelming scientific evidence to you to wear specifically homemade masks. Do we not see this happening? Do we not see in real time that they're trying to make this worse? Now, that's my opinion. But I can't see it. I mean, I can't not see it. I mean, it's everywhere I look. Now, the reason I say that's my opinion is because actions that are being taken clearly lead to more problems doesn't necessarily translate that they're doing it on purpose. This is just me being honest and clear with you guys, because that's not, but my opinion, 100%. I mean, how many times can you get this many actions in a row, every single one of them being the action, the very thing that needs to happen that makes it worse? All while saying it's for your safety. I mean, damn it, guys, it's just unreal. But as Trump is now also taking the mask on and telling people that, yeah, I'm all for masks, you know, in certain situations, going to the hospital, being around people at risk and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they say, yeah, this will be used to continue to push this narrative. It says now that this is widely accepted as fact by government, news, and health leaders, right? That's an interesting way to put that. Not just widely accepted as fact, but widely accepted as fact by the people you need to listen to. We're focused on getting masks to be required across the U.S. and the world. That's what this group is. That is alarming. Now, what's even interesting, or even more interesting, is that when this started, you can see that this jumped. This was in March of 2020, weirdly timed. And then it's tapered off. A little kick in the end. This is the interest over their hashtag. So it seems to suggest that people are hip to this. But as of mid-May, 100 plus countries and the 10 U.S. states require them. Yeah, somebody keep telling me this is not going to be mandatory, okay? 95% of the world population lives in countries that require or recommend these things. Now, to be clear about that, that is because these are gigantic countries with huge populations. That's not the majority of the world, in my... Well, that's a weird way to put that. Let's say that's not the majority of countries. Which is an interesting difference, right? Because governments are controlling these countries. And if you got these gigantic countries like China and the United States and India, all on the same page, I mean, that's the majority of the world. But those are only a limited amount of governments controlling those directions. But when you say that most countries don't do that, that needs to show you that if people left to their own devices, they would not be requiring this. And I do think that it's only 95% now because of this direction and where we're going. But hashtag masks for all, pretty scary. Actually based on the science. Oh, and to the point, look at this. These people actually photoshopped masks onto their faces. I mean, it's not even very, it's not, I mean, I think they did it as maybe even a joke, but are they not going to wear masks for their own pictures on a site that's dedicated to masks for all? Or are they going to put up their other pictures and just Photoshop pictures of masks on them? Well, I guess we got that answer. Very interesting. Now, these are the people I'm sure that they were talking about. So let's go through and look real quick. I just didn't jump out at me as somebody who is necessarily, you know, usual suspect. Well, okay, well, this is a good World Economic Forum member of, right? So this is the co-founder and leader. So he's tied to the World Economic Forum, which means he's tied into the, at least tangentially, to the circles of Bill Gates and all these different agendas. World Economic Forum was tied in with all of this stuff from 201 to the beginning of all this stuff, right? Nothing else is jumping out. I'm surprised I actually missed that the first time I looked. But you see, this is exactly why everyone should do their own due diligence, you know? We don't always catch everything. Anyway, this is alarming stuff, especially now that Donald Trump himself is coming along. Right? Now, to end off with some very alarming stuff as well, something I did discuss yesterday, but I really wanted to reiterate this, which is something that is another aspect of this. So as we're pointing out the mask and people are, remember when this all started? No one's telling you have to do it. No one's telling you. We're just saying you and recommending. Okay. And we said, well, you're crazy because it is happening. And they called you conspiracy theorists. And then they said, well, no one's saying you have to do it outside of public space. Okay. Right. Well, now they are. And now, well, no one's telling, you know, at every step along the way, there's people that are rising up and saying, yo, this is why, you know, it's only this. There's actually a great video someone just did the other day, which was very partisan, but it was still a good point that that's what they keep doing. Right? It's only for a short period of time. It's only just a little vaccine. It's only just this. And every step it goes forward, that is the boiling frog. That is the totalitarian tiptoe. But like masks are now being mandated all across the country, the very thing we were told wasn't going to happen, even in public, even inside your house, they're recommending it now. We also have things like this, which we told you were coming, that are happening now. Immunity passports. The trust stamp. Of course, because you can trust it, right? Integrating biometric hash solution with MasterCard on children's vaccine record system. Interesting. So yeah, first off, this is a digital passport. This is an immunity passport. That's exactly what this is. They're using your biometrics or individuals' biometrics to track them, to track their vaccine record and track their biometrics. And of course, as usual, they're starting with kids in Africa, right? Because that's what you do. When you got this new dangerous thing, you go test it on kids in Africa, right? Well, actually, I mean, my mind when saying that is about the vaccine that they were now testing on people in Africa. As, you know, French mainstream media just openly said months ago that, wow, let's go test it in Africa. They got nothing to lose. And now when it happens, they go, oh, see, we're doing it because we're helping them. Yeah, that works out. But this is the same thing. They're implementing this there so it can normalize it and they can talk about it and point to it as a success. And then it will slowly roll out as an optional thing first. And then suddenly we have, you know, companies mandating it. We've got, you know, airlines mandating it, which Derek Brose already wrote about, which is already about to happen. You know, it's all coming your way. But we're conspiracy theorists, right? Digital identity capabilities from Trust Stamp are now being integrated with MasterCard's Wellness Pass solution. And by the way, I didn't even look this up the other day. I wanted to show you. You know what? What do they have it under? I was just looking at this. Oh, that's weird. This is the kind of thing that they're building. You know, this is MasterCard in conjunction with other groups. Now, this isn't the right one, but it's a similar thing. Oh, no, this isn't right. This looks like a gym thing. Anyway, the point was, I had it up before. I forgot to bring it up. The Wellness Pass solution is one of these really alarming things. This is a digital passport, right? And this is the idea of having to prove that you're not sick to be able to function in society. Yeah, it sounds like freedom, right? Especially then realize that we also know that governments in these positions historically have abused anything of this nature every single time as far as they could get away with. Right? So imagine you're not actually sick, but suddenly you're, you know, criticizing the government, or maybe you're an Iranian official, and suddenly, oh, well, no, guess what? Oh, we think you're sick because our system said so, and because you have symptoms based on our biometrics, and we have to arrest you, right? And then you disappear. Or they stop you from doing something you're about to give. Any number of things could happen. Or maybe you're just a dissident in this country, and they want to just give you a little scare, right? I mean, the point is, it can be used how they wish. It can be used against political enemies. I mean, any number of things can be used. This is also on the idea of pre-crime, as people like Bill Barr has been working on, as the Israeli companies that are now working inside our country are also doing, right? Medical pre-crime. That's what's happening right this moment. And they're using it under the guise of fighting COVID-19, right? They're rolling it out in Rhode Island right this moment. It is a technocratic surveillance network that's an Israeli company that has direct ties to their NSA, which is called their Unit 8200. Why is that building a surveillance network in the United States? Oh, it's for your freedom, of course, right? To fight COVID-19. And we also talked about Cellbrite, which is a company, an Israeli company, also tied to their intelligence. Weird how that always seems to be the case. And it's making, it has made since 2016, a device that can hack your phone without passwords and download everything you have with a push of a button, right? That's why the FBI stopped caring about the Apple problem, because they solved it. Israel solved it for them. And now they can hack your data, and so can Israel, with the push of a button, right? This is where we are. This is what's happening. Wellness passes and control networks and all this stuff is being built around you, and they're pretending that it's all good and it's all for freedom, based on lies that we know now are lies. Also, remember, as I pointed out in the show, that MasterCard, with Trust Stamp, says it will launch this whole thing in cooperation with Gavi, the Global Vaccine Alliance in West Africa, right? The group that Trump's administration just donated $1 billion to. Right. And it's not the U.S. aid. U.S. aid gave them $1.1 billion, which is under the State Department. So that's ultimately Trump's administration's decision. And yes, it happened before. And yes, the U.S. aid's been donating to Gavi for a long time. What does any of that have to do with anything? Trump had the choice to say, well, that's a bad guy group, we're going to stop that. Nope, but he didn't. They went along with it anyway. And then Kelly Kraft later said, we'll give him another $500 million directly from us. And then they said, here's another $700 million. And yes, it ended up being over $2 billion going to Gavi, even though they claimed they removed the money from the World Health Organization, which technically is there until next year. So, and then when Trump removed his donations, the funding to World Health Organization, Bill Gates, which was the next highest funder, became the leading funder. You know who was second? Gavi. So now Gates and Gavi have basically complete funding control over the World Health Organization. And then Trump turned around in his administration and continued to give money to Gavi, right? So let's see that for what it is. But realize that that money, even if you think it's some kind of 4D chess move, is currently being used to build immunity passports that, sure, are being implemented in Africa, but let's pretend like that won't end up at your doorstep. Either way, it's still the agenda of Gavi and the Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates foundations and all these different groups, whether it's in Africa or the United States. So how do you justify that? Even if it's a 4D chess move, they're using it to build the things that are going to subjugate you right this moment. Seems pretty dangerous, if you ask me. But the reality is, I think we should be seeing what it actually is, that they're all on the same side. Now, it says Gareth Gerner, Trust Stamp co-founder and CEO, explains in an interview how the company's evergreen hash technology uses biometrics without taking on the risk of spoofing or data breach. Now, this is the argument, right? Their argument is essentially that because basically it translates, to make it very easy, it translates into taking all of your data, all of it, your biometrics and everything, and then associating it with a hash. And that's not even best language, I think, but that's the best way to make it make sense for people. So that hash is then associated with all of your data. So you can look at the hash and you won't know that that's this person. The point is, that's not actual privacy in regard to the government, which was really about, right? Americans should be concerned about the government having lack of privacy in regard to the government. That's what most Americans actually care about. Not that your neighbor is going to know your biometric fingerprint data. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. But that's how they sell it. It's totally privacy. It's all private. No, it's private from other people, not the government, because they have access to your hash and the data around it, which is the point. But all this is being pushed, as it says down here. Trust Stamp was approached by MasterCard their StartPath startup program with the idea of applying its technology to immunization records for children in remote regions. Oh, they're so altruistic, which is how the Wellness Pass integration came about. The technology works offline, and a new hash is created with updated information each time a vaccination is received. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? This is interesting. Somebody just sent me something as I'm live here, which we might as well just take a look at. Before I get to that, here is the other page I want to show you yesterday, the Trust Stamp website, Global Identity Verification, right? Like, aside from making it sound like, don't worry, we're just going to track the vaccines, yet the idea of this whole thing is about global identity verification, right? Not just Africa, not just vaccines for kids, global. Which, of course, is just what they're striving, but this is the point, right? The most comprehensive AI-powered facial biometric identity authorization. So this is what it is. And of course, you know, in general, as you go through this information, you can find out that these things have applied to certain areas, you know, like cattle and prison. And not this one specifically. I'm talking about all of these different global identification trackers. All the ones they're using can be traced back to using them for inmates, for tracking cattle, for tracking terrorists, for trapping, you know, to stopping mass shooters that are now being directed at you. For your safety, right? So suddenly now you're the criminal is the ultimate point. Now here's what somebody just sent me. Let's take a look before we jump to something else. Bill Gates warns against coronavirus vaccine going to highest bidder. Quote, we'll have a deadlier pandemic, he says. Bill Gates on Saturday said the COVID-19 medication and the future vaccine should be distributed to people who need them the most and not to the highest bidder. We need leaders to make these hard decisions about distributing. Yeah, I mean, I'm not seeing what this is in regard to. I mean, I think this is just fake altruism, in my opinion. There may be something more to this that I'm not seeing that the person sent. But the idea ultimately is that is to get it to everybody everywhere. That's what I see from that, right? That we just need to get the vaccine everywhere as fast as possible or we'll have a deadlier pandemic. I think that's the fallacy, right? But here's something else more alarming. And this is the kind of infrastructure, the kind of world being built while you're not paying attention, right? Sort of how they just said these other places have developed the future of the, you know, basically saying that these countries and areas have used COVID-19 to create this new society. And that's what we're alarming about. That's what we should all be afraid of. That's the point, actually, right? That's what is really happening. This thing is called Twist Bioscience. Somebody just sent this to me. Twist is helping, again, fight SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. Right? Again, as always, they're not the exact same thing, but just to make it clear for people, virus and disease. But the point is this is being displayed to this, right? So Twist Bioscience, which is kind of an alarming setup here, is, of course, now being applied to COVID-19, which I argue it probably wasn't before this started. But it says, we make DNA. At Twist Bioscience, we work in service of customers who are changing the world for the better. Okay, sure. Or, you know, that's what they tell everybody, right? Because I argue that people are involved in this kind of stuff are usually not out to better the world. They're usually out to control it. That's my take. I could be wrong. That's what I say usually, not all of them. But this kind of stuff is alarming. In fields such as medicine, agriculture, industrial chemicals, and data storage, by using our synthetic DNA tools, our customers are developing ways to better lives and improve the sustainability of the planet. Anytime you see sustainability, which is a very real thing that we should all care about, but coming from these entities, it should be alarming to you. Because this is the Trojan horse of the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, UN kind of the sustainability global drive thing for globalization. That's what that is. That's the scapegoat. But another part about them, our mission, whether targeting cancer, autoimmune disease, cardiovascular disease, or infectious diseases, our partners are applying next generation drug development to solve some of the world's most intractable health challenges. So remind me again, how do you combat infectious diseases? Right? I mean, ask yourself, remember, how do you do that? Oh, that's right. You manipulate them. You play with them in a lab. You make vaccines out of it, right? You make them more dangerous and then you make a vaccine. That's what the government tells us. So here's Twist Bio, Twist Biopharmaceutical, or Bioscience, or Twist Biopharma, in this one isolated part of their website, openly saying that their mission is to combat and find ways to target infectious diseases. Now, I find that to be kind of interesting. Now, my point in showing you this in general is to show you that these are the kind of things that are rising up everywhere because of where we are right now. The technocratic shift is happening right in front of you. And now they're normalizing the idea of bioscience, biomanipulation, creating weapons. And you know, whether you even think they're actually creating more dangerous things to be able to fight them or not. And they're making things that are more dangerous that they could potentially leak. Remember that Fort Detrick itself had one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight. That is verified by the NIH and the CDC. One leak every 3 days for 7 years. I reported this more than once. Yeah, Fort Detrick, which also has coronaviruses. Fort Detrick, which has Ebola and all the other things we talk about. One leak every 3 days for 7 years. But let's pretend like that's not possibly what's happening here today, right? I mean, thinking about the things to end today that we started out with today, right? These different discussions that we've had. Things like the idea, that's weird. Of course that goes away. I was going to just show you something. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's something that I made a while back that I think is very relevant to this whole thing. Let's find out real quick. It's in regard to, you know, the same point in the beginning. The Kansas flu, the Spanish flu, as we're told. Doesn't look like it's popping up. Oh, well. That's quite frustrating. I don't know how that just up and disappeared. I'm telling you, there's something funky going on my side, guys. I'm telling you. Randomly the other day, my background on the screen changed on my computer. Suddenly, all my phone contacts all say unknown. Something funny going on. I have all kinds of protections on my computer. I mean, who the hell knows what's going on? Anyway, I made the video before about the overlap of where U.S. bases are in the world and where COVID has been rising, right? It's almost exactly where that is. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove anything, but thinking back to the idea of the Spanish flu, really the Kansas flu, is that the military, the U.S. military, was the vehicle on which that virus spread. That's documented fact. So we should consider that today. I can look at the Japanese story. Suddenly, here's the U.S. military bringing it into Japan, even though they had only 150 cases, whether that was intentional or not. It's very interesting to think about, right? But remember these things. Things like Fort Detrick itself, which, since we didn't play the other one, why don't we just play this one for you?
I visited the town of Frederick, Maryland, which is just outside of Washington, D.C., and met a lot of people who were suffering or had family members who had died from rare illnesses. And one thing they all had in common was a theory that the source of these rare illnesses was a local army base called Fort Detrick and some of the secret activities that have been going on there for decades.
I lived on Elm Street, and on the side of the road that I lived on, just counting the six houses, everyone had cancer.
So my daughter, at the age of 28 years old, was diagnosed with brain cancer. Then my second daughter gets sick and has tumors in her womb, and they said that this was not genetic but environmental. About a year after that, my wife then gets renal cell carcinoma and dies a year later after that. We have over 1,300 documented cancer victims right now, just in a 1 mile radius. I'll be quite honest with you, it's changed my life so radically, sometimes I don't even know who I am.
1,300 people in a 1 mile radius. What's causing so much sickness? It turns out all these victims have one thing in common. They live next to a military base called Fort Detrick.
That goes on. Even that clip goes on. I just wanted you just to see the point there. It's really disconcerting to see something so clear and realize that there's definitely something going on there. And the reality that then, again, that this is the same place we're talking about that has one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight. But it's not them, right? Of course not, because that doesn't make sense, because you're a conspiracy theorist working for the Chinese government, right? Because that just adds up. You know, the reality of this is that that's very suspect. And with all this coming around today, we need to realize that these are the kind of people that we're talking about. And this is the kind of groups that make things like we're staring at here, or do the kinds of things that we're staring at here in regard to Twist Biopharma. Right. So as we go forward, we need to realize that this is being cultivated. This kind of reality and future is being built. It's being normalized despite the evidence, despite the science, as they scream the science. So we need to stand up for ourselves. There's never been a more clear time in my life where we need to stand up and take a stand. Now, I'm not arguing that people should go out there and put their lives at risk, go out there and, you know, if you have a family, do something that will potentially risk the security of your family. Right? I'm not asking you to do that. It's on you. The choice is yours. My point is that now is the time when we should be willing to risk all to make sure that this does not happen. Because if we don't, we won't have the kind of lives that we still think we do at this moment, even though they're obviously not the same, right? This will go away. This will change. We can see the glimpses of the reality they're creating, right? You take the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the things that are already being reinstituted. The worst it was at the peak of this so far, that is 10% of the world they're creating. That is what is coming, and that's a small taste of it. And it's all going to be there at the flick of a switch. Whether we're talking 5G or the virus detecting boxes that I already reported on that they want to install all around the country to be able to detect viruses in the air. And I guess we'll just trust that. Or the pre-crime ability to be able to inject you with injectable nano platforms. That's something DARPA is working on right now. We already reported on it. In order to be able to say, hey, we just got notified on our Wi-Fi thing that says you're sick. Now you got to come in, right? Even though it's not your choice. I mean, this is what they're building. And we're being called crazy for it. I hope people can see through it. Thank you for being here again today. I apologize for the weird video yesterday. I ultimately left it up because, you know, it's not about me and my image and me not looking stupid. It's about the information and continuing to get it out there. So even though there's all kinds of comments of people making fun or whatever else, I mean, my point of leaving it up was to show you that that's, you know, that's happening. Of course, some people will see it and be like, hey, it's him messing up, whatever. The information's still there if they care to look at it. It wasn't, though. It was very, very clear. There was manipulations happening. And I'm going to do all I can to keep this from going away. No matter what, whether I'm standing on a soapbox in front of my house screaming about what's going on, I'm not going to stop talking about this. So join me in that pledge. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.